First Kings chapter 19. We're going to continue on with the message we began last Sabbath evening, which we entitled The Depressed Prophet. The Dreadful Dark Depression. Dear Elijah suffered from at this time that's recorded in 1 Kings 19. We read there in verse 4. And he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. Elijah descended into the Slough of Despond and into the wilderness of depression, following a great victory on Mount Carmel, after having prayed, saw the fire from heaven fall, after having confounded the false prophets of Baal, after having slain all 450 of them, after having got down on his knees and prayed that the Lord would open the windows of heaven and pour out blessing and rain, after having told his servant to go and tell Ahab to run because there's a sign of abundance of rain, there's Elijah on the mountain peak. There's Elijah on the mountain top. On the mountain top physically, on the mountain top spiritually. But old Ahab, when he returned home, wasted no time in going and having a word in the ear of his wife and telling Jezebel what Elijah had done. He didn't happen to tell her about the fire falling from heaven. He didn't happen to tell her about the people saying, The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. No, the only thing he had for her ear was the fact that Elijah, what he had done and had slain all the prophets with the sword. Jezebel wasted no time sending a message to Elijah and telling him, inside 24 hours, I'll see to it that you are like one of those prophets. Elijah, we're told when he saw that, verse 3, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die. He's in the Slough of Despond. He's in the depths of despair. Dark depression has come over his mind and over his heart and over his soul. What did we notice last week? Very quickly. We noted Elijah, the troubled prophet. Very clear from these words. He was the troubled prophet. We noted his desperation. His desperation, verse 3, he went for his life. He ran away, having received the message from Jezebel, that wicked woman, In desperation he ran. We noted that it was hard for us to understand these things. But such a thing happened to a man like Elijah. We find it hard to understand his fleeing. Find it hard to understand his fear. Because we noted that in 1 Kings 17 and verse 1 and 1 Kings 18 verse 17 and 18, Elijah had gone and stood face to face to Ahab himself and had blamed Ahab for the state of the nation because the nation had turned away from Jehovah. So he showed no fear in facing Ahab. So we said it was hard to understand his desperation when he fled, when he feared, and when he had forsaken the place of prayer. That place where Elijah had been, there in Mount Carmel. And through prayer he had called down the fire of God. Through prayer, he'd seen the windows of heaven open. Elijah, what happened to you? We have read what you accomplished through prayer. Could prayer not deal with Jezebel? He forsook the place of prayer. And he ran away into the wilderness of Beersheba, sat down under the juniper tree. He wished he could die. But we noted something, and it was something I had noted before, that I feel was really at the heart of Elijah's depression. We find it over there in James 5. Words that we're familiar with. Words that we have often quoted, I'm sure. But in James chapter 5 and verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And when speaking about effectual, fervent prayer and speaking about a righteous man, James thought about Elijah. Because he says in the next verse, Elias was a man. We pointed that out. We emphasized that. Elias was a man. He was a man. Just an ordinary man that God certainly mightily used. But James says, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. You recall that in looking at those words, we discovered something. Something very important. James said that Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. The word passions, it's a word that means feelings. So now you can read that Elias was a man subject to like feelings. As we are, as we have. Might be interested also to know the word passions. In the Greek is the word that we get homeopathy from. So if you want to know more about homeopathy, well, you can look at Elijah. Subject to like passions, subject to like feelings, as we have. But then we notice that the word subject, Elias was a man subject. The word subject means to be under. To be under. And so what happened to Elijah? Elijah got under his feelings. If you like, his feelings got on top of him. And because his feelings got on top of him, and he couldn't cope with them, he wished the Lord to take away his life. And you know, that's what happens. That's really what depression is all about. An individual, and maybe they've been disappointed or discouraged about something, and something's not going their way, and they feel despondent, and after a while their feelings get on top of them, and they can't cope with the feelings. They can't rise above the feelings. And when they can't rise above their feelings, then they're dying. That's what happened to Elijah. He was down. When his feelings got the better of him and conquered him, we're told that he ran for his life. He ran away from the problem that had got him down. Someone's depressed, that's what they want to do. Just want to run away. We noted not only his desperation, but also his desolation. But we see what Elijah did, where he went. He heard about Jezebel, received the message. He went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth unto Judah, and left his servant there. Notice, he left the servant there. But he himself, it's emphasized, he himself went a day's journey, where? Into a wilderness. There's his desolation. And anyone suffers from depression, you ask them what's wrong. One of the things they'll say, I have an awful feeling of loneliness. They may be surrounded by friends and family that love them, but they feel, they have a feeling of desolation, loneliness. And here we have Elijah. He went away into the wilderness. He left his servant behind. And Elijah just wanted to be left alone. David once said, Psalm 69, verse 20, reproach has broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness, and I looked for some to take pity. But there was none. And for comforters, but I found none. But there was a difference in David and Elijah, the difference being that David looked for comforters. David looked for someone to have pity on him. When, as he said, reproach had broken his heart and he was full of heaviness. That was David. But Elijah didn't look for anybody to have pity on him. He didn't look for anybody to comfort him. He just wanted to be left alone. Leave me alone. Such was his depression, his desperation, his desolation, and his despair. You see here where those feelings that had got down under led him to absolute, abject despair. Where he said, after gone into the wilderness, sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die. And he said, it is enough. Elijah. Elijah was just saying, I've had enough. Had enough. Just ask the Lord to take his life. He felt that he was no good. But if you look there, and then verse 4, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my fathers. Speaking about fathers of Israel that turned away from Jehovah. And here's Elijah, and he said, I'm no better than them. In other words, he's saying, I'm just no good. You might as well take away my life, Lord. I'm no good. And finished. And here's Elijah. And he's deep down in the valley of despair. He's in what is known as the Slough of Despond. John Bunyan talked about the Slough of Despond. That's where Elijah was. So we notice then the troubled prophet. We want to look tonight at Elijah the touched prophet. When we're praying for those who are sick, we often pray, Lord, touch that brother or that sister. Touch them, Lord, and heal them. Well, Elijah was sick. Wasn't any physical sickness. It was all up here. And he needed a touch from the Lord to lift him out of his depression. And we are told that while in the wilderness Elijah lay and slept under a juniper tree, verse 5. And how typical this is of those who suffer from depression. All they want to do is sleep. Just want to sleep. Fellow laborer in the Lord's work went to preach in a certain church. He was there over the weekend to preach. The minister of that church suffered from depression. And the visiting preacher had no one to fellowship with or no one to talk to. He had to stay in his bedroom for most of the day because the depressed preacher was in his bed fast asleep, way on into the middle of the day. That's all he wanted to do, sleep. Because he saw sleep as a way of escape. To escape the despair and the depression. At least when he's sleeping, he's not depressed. He doesn't know how he's feeling because he's unconscious. He's asleep. And so here's Elijah, and he wants to sleep, and he wants to be left alone. But Elijah was not alone. He was in the wilderness. There wasn't a soul around him. Elijah, as far as he was concerned, was all alone, but he wasn't alone. He may have looked right and left. He might have looked behind him or in front of him. He may not have seen anybody, but he didn't look up. Because when Elijah was in the wilderness there alone, there was an eye upon him. An eye of pity was looking at Elijah. We read in verse 5, and as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold then an angel touched him, said unto him, arise and eat. Poor despairing Elijah may not had been seen by man, but he was seen by the Lord. We take the wings of the morning and fly to the uttermost parts of the sea, even there. Shall thy hand lead me? Shall thy right hand hold me? So even when we are going through a wilderness experience, and even when we feel we are alone, and all appears desolate, and nobody understands, or indeed we go a step further and we can say, nobody cares how I feel. The world goes about its business. And here am I, I'm left alone in the depths of despair. If we ever feel that way, you're not alone. We pointed out last Sabbath evening when Sarah sent Hagar out of the house. And she went and she abode in a wilderness similar to the light. Yet the Lord appeared unto her and spoke to her. And what was her testimony? Thy God seest me. And there was a lonely, forsaken, cast out woman. And yet she was able to testify, Thy God seest me. There's Elijah in the wilderness. And he feels that he's very much alone because that's what he wanted to be. But Elijah could also say, Thy God seest thee. And an angel came. And an angel touched him. You notice the angel. Look at verse 7. In verse 5 it just says, an angel touched him. Verse 7, the angel of the Lord came again, the second time, and touched him. The angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord is none other than the Son of God himself. Christ is the angel of the Lord. And isn't that what we need? In times of despair and despondency, don't we need a touch from the angel of the Lord? We need the dear Savior himself to come. And if thy God seest me, he'll come himself. Isn't that interesting? When the Lord saw Elijah there in the wilderness, he just didn't send one of the 10,000 or more angels. The Lord came himself. He attended personally to Elijah's need. We have the heavenly servant. Next we have the heavenly supply. This is, when you look at these verses, we see how the Lord dealt with Elijah. I think it's wonderful. The angel did not come to Elijah empty-handed. But we read in verse 6, and he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drank and laid him down again. See, just wants to sleep. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he rose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. So much teaching there in those words. Those three verses we have just read. The angels, as we've said, did not come empty-handed. Rather, we are told that when Elijah rose, there was there a cake being baked on coals of fire and a cruse of water at his head. Do you see how tenderly the Lord is dealing with Elijah? The cruse of water was set by the Lord at the very head of the servant of God. He brought it right to him. He couldn't have brought it any closer. So Elijah was to be lifted out of the slough of despond. He's to be lifted out of his depression and to be lifted up. That help and that lifting up had to come from the Lord. And help did come to him by way of a miracle. He's in the wilderness and he awakens from his sleep and he rises up and he sees a cake baking on coals of fire and a cruse of water. But he's in the wilderness. Where did the water come from? Where did the coals of fire come from? Where did the bread come from? The Lord supplied it in a miraculous way. He's in the wilderness. No convenience stores anywhere. The Lord kindled the fire. The Lord made the bread. The Lord supplied the water. We'll be looking at Peter by and by in this particular series of the Second Chance. And you recall after Peter had denied the Lord and crucifixion had taken place and Lord had been buried. Peter said to six of his fellow disciples, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we go also, or we go with thee. Which they did. They fished all night, caught nothing. In the morning, they saw a stranger walking along the shore. Isn't it good when the Lord brings the morning after a long, dark, disappointing night? Well, in the morning, Christ was the one walking along the shore. Spoke to the disciples, have ye any meat? All they could say was one word, no. They had nothing to say. They were in a place they should not have been. They'd been called to be fishers of men. But they'd gone back to their own business. The Lord told them to cast the net on the right side of the ship, which they did. And they caught a great draught of fishes. That in itself was a miracle. Because fishermen fished at night. But they caught a great draught of fishes in the morning. And then they realized who it was. And the Lord then said in verse 12 of John 21, said to those disciples, come and dine. And none of the disciples dared ask them, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Listen. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread, and giveth them, and fish likewise. Where'd the bread come from? Where did the fish come from? The Lord supplied. Miraculously, the Lord supplied. Miraculously, the Lord supplied the bread and the water for Elijah. And how interesting. How interesting it is that we read the Lord supplied Elijah bread and water. Now we have already noted the angel of the Lord is that theophany, as it's known as the visible manifestation of God. What happened in the wilderness there and who Elijah saw and was touched by was the angel of the Lord, which was a theophany, an appearance of Christ before Bethlehem. So here we have the Lord Jesus Christ, the angel of the Lord, appearing unto Elijah, and is brought with him bread and water. That's significant. Because since it was Christ, the angel of the Lord, who came, who is Christ? I am the bread of life. And he brought a cruse of water. And who is Christ? Remember what he said to the woman of Samaria, Jacob's well? He said to the woman, the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. That's what the prophet needed. The prophet needed the bread of life. The prophet needed that living water. And Christ appeared unto him as the bread of life and as the living water. If anyone is to lift us out of our slough of despond, and anyone is to lift us out of the valley and the wilderness of depression, it'll be Christ. It'll be the Lord. Because he knows. He understands. Remember what we said last week? When the Lord was in Gethsemane, he told the disciples that he began to be very heavy. The words very heavy mean deeply depressed. And that's the wonderful thing about our dear Savior. So that whenever Elijah was depressed, the Lord Jesus knew how he felt. When you're depressed, when you're down, when you're disappointed, the Lord knows how you feel. Because he has been there. I often think of that portion of Scripture in John 6. Where the Lord preached about his flesh being the food his disciples needed to eat. They needed to drink his blood. He's speaking spiritually, of course. And there were those disciples there who really couldn't handle the Lord's preaching. Not something. Never a man spake like this man, and yet those disciples told the Lord his teachings were too hard to understand. They just couldn't handle it. And then we read, from that time forth, many, not just one or two, many of his disciples went away and walked no more with him. I've often thought, while it's not revealed to us how the Lord felt, but I've often thought, how did the Savior feel that day as he watched those disciples, many of them, going away back and walking no more with him. Boy, he must have been disappointed. Because when a minister loses people from his congregation, it's a tough thing to swallow. But the Lord knows all about it. He can say to his servant, it's all right. I have been there. I know what it's like to have disciples, to have followers leave me, walk no more with me. So when we're disappointed, whatever the cause, the Lord understands. Whenever we're down and depressed, the angel of the Lord, even Christ, understands. Christ came to him with the bread and the water. Who is the one who is the bread of life? In the waters of everlasting life. And the Lord came to Elijah that day in the wilderness and began to gently lift him up. Began to gently lift him up. To say it's significant, I think, that Elijah arose and found the cruse of water just at his head. You go and visit someone in the hospital and you go into the ward and there's a little bedside table there. It's right at their head. If you bring them something, you can set it there on that table, and the nurse comes in with a meal, sets it on that table, right at their head. Because they're caring for their patient. And here's Christ caring for his patient. Praise the Lord. He's caring for his patient. He brings the water and he puts it right on his head. He brings the bread. And he himself is the bread. And he himself is the water. And what he did for Elijah that day was to help to lift him up. Gently lift him up. He's not there yet. But he's lifting him up out of that. Christ, of course, is the Son of Righteousness who has arisen with healing in his wings. For Elijah, things look very bleak and very dark. That's what happens when depression comes upon someone. It's like the sun has been blotted out and there's nothing but black, dark clouds ahead. And there's no ray of sunshine. Well, Christ came. And he's the Son of Righteousness. And he has arisen with healing in his wings. That's why David said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. We'll be looking at Revelation 1 and John's revelation of Christ. And how did he describe the countenance of Christ? As the sun shineth in its strength. And there's David, and he is saying, I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Makes a difference, you know. When the dark clouds of depression slowly disappear. And the sun begins to shine. Boy, that does you good. It lifts the spirits. And he's lifting up the light. as well as the heavenly servant, as well as the heavenly supply, we see also the heavenly sympathy. We see the sympathy which the angel of the Lord expressed to Elijah. Again, it's just the gentle way of dealing with Elijah. Verse 7. And the angel of the Lord came again, the second time, and touched him, and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." There's the sympathy. There's the sympathetic dealings of the angel of the Lord with Elijah. See, the Lord was going to lead him out of the wilderness, where to a mountain, to get him back to the mountain again, to Mount Horeb, which is the Mount of God. But sympathetically, the angel said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." The Lord knew that his servant could not have gone on his own. We've already pointed out, when someone is depressed, they just don't want to go on. Not what Elijah said. I've had enough. He didn't want to go on. Just take my life here. Now the Lord is gently lifting up Elijah. He touched him a second time. He said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you." He knew all about Elijah. He knew how weak he would have been because of depression. A person who's depressed is very weak. They've really strength for nothing. Don't want to do anything. Depression has drained their strength. And the angel of the Lord says to Elijah, "Arise. Arise and eat. The journey is too great for thee." How often have those who are filled with despair have felt, even said, "I have no strength to go on. Yeah, I would like to get to my Horeb. I would like to get out of the wilderness. I would like to get back to the mountain. But I've no strength to go on." They may say, "Well, the journey is too great for me." But the Lord enabled Elijah to arise from under the juniper tree, led him out of the wilderness, led him on to the mountain. We pointed out last week, the Lord didn't come to Elijah and say, "Listen, you better get up on your feet. There's a work to do." He didn't come and say, as I've heard some people say, to an individual who's depressed, "You need to give yourself a bit of a shake. You need to stop worrying." It's not very sympathetic, is it? Well, the Lord is sympathetic. He's the one who was able to lead the depressed prophet out of the wilderness and back to a mountain again. Praise the Lord. They've considered Elijah the troubled prophet, Elijah the touched prophet. Now in the last place we have Elijah, the trusted prophet. It would appear that following his 40-day journey to Horeb, Elijah had not yet got the victory over this depression. But we look at verse 9. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? So the Lord speaks to him and challenges him with those words, what doest thou here, Elijah? Elijah, what are you doing here in this dark cave? What doest thou here, Elijah? He spoke gently to him. Then Elijah opens his heart and he tells the angel of the Lord the reason for his depression. Verse 10, he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. For the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek to take away my life. That's what was wrong. There you have his grievous complaint. Elijah now reveals the reason for his depression. According to his complaint, he felt that all of his work was in vain. After all, he had seen the fire fall. He had heard the people say, the Lord, he is the God. And no sooner had that happened, and the rain fell, and Jezebel made it clear she wanted to take his life, and he felt all his work had been in vain. I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. He was grieved at the state of the nation. He was jealous for his God. He loved Jehovah. He loved the Lord. And he saw what was happening in his nation. And all that he had done, in the eyes of Elijah, had all been in vain. He was grieved. And that's what plunged him into the slough of despair. But telling the Lord the reason for how he felt was really the beginning of Elijah's recovery. The Lord had lifted him up gently. The Lord had spoken to him. The Lord had fed him and watered him graciously. And after Elijah had revealed his grievous complaint to the Lord, that was really the beginning. Reminds us of the words of the Psalms, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain, strength, lift the earth. Quickly, the grievous complaint, the gentle communication. The Lord gives instruction to Elijah there in verses 11 and 12. And he said, go forth, stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after an earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire, still small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering or in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" It's time to get going. But I want you to see how the Lord spoke to Elijah. He did so. Not by the wind, not by the earthquake, not by the fire, but in a still, small voice, spoke to him gently. Spoke to him gently. He didn't say, "Get up and get at your work." He spoke to him gently. In a still, small voice. See, the Lord knew how to deal with it. Reminds us of the words of Isaiah 50 and verse 4. The Lord God hath given me, this is the Lord speaking, "The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know to speak, how to speak a word in season to him that is weary." The Lord knew how to speak to Elijah, and he did so in the still small voice. The grievous complaint, Elijah unburdened his heart to the Lord. The gentle communication, Lord spoke to him in a still small voice. And then you have the gracious command. Elijah wanted his life to end. Elijah wanted his ministry to finish. Elijah wanted to die, but the Lord wanted to keep him alive. And here's the Lord giving Elijah a second chance. Verses 15 and 16. "And the Lord said unto him, Go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel Melolech shall thou anoint to be prophet in thy room." See? The Lord still had a work for Elijah to do. He was to go and he was to anoint three men. One of them being Elisha, the man that would take over and be Elijah's successor. Elijah wanted to die. The Lord wanted to give him a second chance. And he did so, graciously. Lifting him up out of his depression. And how graciously and gently he dealt with him. And then said, "Go, Elijah, go. I have a work for you to do." Wonderful passage of Scripture. I wish I could have spent more time on it. Tremendous passage of Scripture. And tremendous seeing the way the Lord graciously dealt with the servant. Let's bow our heads. Loving Father and gracious God, we thank thee for the word. What a great word it is. What a gracious Savior we have. How gently, graciously, he dealt with the servant. Gave him the bread. Set a cruse of water at his head. Touched him. Lifted him up. Spoke to him. In a still small voice. Led him out of the wilderness. Led him to the mount of God. got them on the higher ground again, and gave them a work to do. Lord, we have a wonderful Savior. We have a wonderful God. Lord, I pray thou would write this word upon hearts tonight. And even if some are not now in the slough of the spawn, maybe in the future, may they remember this word. Lord, may it minister to them. Bless us now, dear Lord, as we part the one from the other. Be with us throughout this week. Keep us safe. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forever and ever. Amen.